we are in Nehemiah 3, and we're looking at all hands on deck. All hands on deck. Again, we can't do this alone. We've said this. Discipleship is a piece of that, but it's just one piece. We can't do anything on our own. One of the things that I found this week in work, and work was pretty rough the first 3 days of the week. I don't know for anybody else, but I know this week has just been one of those weeks. And so for me and my position at work, I like to go around and what's going on? How can we help? And one of those things is, as I went through, and I'm in a school, if you're not aware, I would go and I was like, what's going on? Well, they would go through that whole thing. Now, I can get trapped up in that just like anyone else. But I was trying to put out the fires because that's kind of my job. And I would suggest something that worked. And I'd be like, well, what can I do? I'm just the teacher. What can I do? I'm just whatever. What can I do? I can't do anything. I'm just a student. Well, first of all, a lot of times you're the problem. You can stop doing X, Y, Z. But on top of that, it hit me. I'm like, I'm just. You're not just anything. We are so much more than we give ourselves credit for. And so I'm like going around going, no. Like, you can do this. And really, it's like I said in the transition, sometimes we can get wrapped up in our own whatever. And then we get wrapped up in somebody else's whatever. And in our school this week, it was everybody was wrapped up in everybody's whatever. But then you also have social media involved. You also have outside influences of friends and family going, yeah, but, you know, that's great that you had a great day, but let me tell you my day. And then all of a sudden you start heading down this road. And it all starts with the, yeah, I'm just. Have you ever said to yourself, I'm just a stay-at-home mom? I've seen that a lot. Like, I'm just a stay-at-home mom. S-A-H-M, as they put it on social media. Or I'm just a barista. By the way, if you're a barista, you're my favorite person. Really? I'm just a teacher. I'm just retired. What can I do? Thing is there's so much more that you can do. You're so much more than just a title that you're given. I'm not just a pastor. I'm so much more than that. Sometimes I get wrapped up in that in my week as well, but then I'm reminded that I'm not just that. I'm also a father. I'm also a brother. You go through that whole list and you start going, oh man, there's so much more to me. But then you realize there's also more in you as well. We see our lives in terms of just, but God sees us differently. And Scripture tells us that over and over again. And God uses ordinary people, just like us, to do extraordinary things. And he wants to use us. He wants to use you right here in our community. We're going to look at Nehemiah 3, and at first glance, just seems like a simple list. There's that just. It's a list of priests, merchants, rulers, families, all building the walls in Jerusalem. In fact, we can get lost in all the names and positions. Let me just start reading it for you, because many people probably don't read this part because it's just a list of names of people doing just the building. Just get to the end of it. Just tell me where it's going to go. Like, I know because we do know a lot of these stories. I'm not saying you do. If you don't, that's where we're at. So let me read it. Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and rebuilt the sheep gate. They dedicated it and set its doors in place, building as far as the Tower of the Hundred, which they dedicated, and as far as the Tower of Hananel. The men of Jericho built the adjoining section, and Zaccur, son of Imri, built next to them. The fish gate was rebuilt by the sons of Hesena. They laid its beams and put its doors and bolts and bars in place, which, by the way, just reminds me, most people don't read it because they can't pronounce the names. Meremoth, son of Uriah, the son of Hekaz, repaired the next section next to him. Meshulam, son of Barakai, the son of... You get the idea, right? And we skip over it. But we forget that their names are associated with who they are and the giftings that they have. And it goes on and keeps going and says, and the next section, and beside them, and next to them, and the next section. But what we forget is it's all these different people with all these skills working side by side by side. If they were to sit there and go, I'm just, nothing would get built. But I am, and I can do it side by side. See, God uses ordinary people. The chapter opens with priests repairing the sheep gate. I wonder how many pastors and priests would be willing to just go repair a gate. I don't know. And I hope a lot. I hope, and my hope is that more would lead from that aspect of, I'm going to be the first one to repair something. I am not going to repair, but I will sweep. I will take out trash. I will scrub the toilets. I'm going to side by side do something. Followed by neighbors, merchants, and families, each doing their part. None of them were superheroes. They were ordinary people with ordinary jobs. Let's look at some of the examples in the Bible. Noah, he was just a simple man in a corrupt world, much like today. He built an ark. Rahab, a Canaanite prostitute, protected the spies and became of Jesus' lineage. Without her, Ruth, a widowed foreigner, could have gotten wrapped up in the woe is me, and she kind of did, became the great-grandmother of King David. Mary, a teenage girl from Nazareth, carried the Savior of the world. I mean, she's just a girl. Peter and John, they're just fishermen who became leaders of the early church. See, we get into this mode of I'm just, and we forget that the Lord wants to do something with us. And the way he does it is this. Let me point you to 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 7. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one of the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. He gives us our gifts, our giftings, our talents, our burdens for a purpose. See, we're to work side by side and use us, who's ordinary. I am nothing special, that is for sure. I came out of a household that's nothing special. You can ask my mom. Hi, Mom, because she listens. But at the same time, I know that our family has done something special because we found out who we are in Christ and said we're going to work side by side with the people that we're given, and we are going to do something. And that something is what the Lord has called us to do. Every person here at Connection Church and every person here in Columbiana, whether you agree with what they do or who they are or not, has a gift to bring to God's work. See, too often we also get wrapped in, this is who I am, this is what I believe, and so if it goes against what I believe, they must be wrong and I must be right. Maybe. But that's basically saying, look, I'm right, God's wrong, and they can't be used. Because they're just, fill in the blank. See, we're not just anything. We're someone God can use to build His kingdom. Because if we put it in perspective, it's not just what I want to do, it's not just who I am, but it's His kingdom and what He wants to do, and really how He wants to do it. When we start into that, we start thinking that way, then we start thinking in terms of unity. And when we start doing that, that builds strength, because in unity, there is strength. Nehemiah continues in the chapter by showing all the diversity of people. He purposely points out all the different things that they are. Goldsmiths working beside perfume makers. Now, that in itself says, okay, we're start of a mall or a plaza at least, right? But then they're right next to rulers who are next to priests. That's not like the world today. Like, I'm supposed to stay in my lane. I'm not supposed to be beside. You do that. I don't do that. I go here. You're here to serve me, right? See, no one did everything, but each person's work contributes to the greater whole. No one did the one thing, but everyone did the thing. Paul explains it in the same principle in Ephesians 4:16. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We are called to do something. In chapter 3, thank you. In chapter 3, each one is called to do something. The goldsmiths aren't working on gold on the wall. That's not what they're called to do. But they have a skill set, and that could just be a relational skill set to keep encouraging the ones that know what to do, how to do it. Unity, however, is not sameness. Unity is not the same as uniformity. We're not coming together as a church so that we all wear the same clothes, saying the same things, leaving here. Yes, we're on the same page, but we have a way to go about doing that. It's different people, different gifts, working together toward one goal. And when God's people work together, something amazing happens. See, first of all, tasks get done. I can't imagine Nehemiah going in and telling the rulers, it's your job to build the wall. I'm out of here. We're done. Because if that were the case, they would have done it a long time ago. But once they started working side by side and they saw that the Lord's hand was in on this, they knew that it could get done. Second thing is relationships are built. When you start working side by side next to someone towards the same goal, man, relationships get stronger and stronger and stronger. When we started as a church, it was just Carrie and I, and then we brought a couple people in, and then we started doing things, and then we brought a couple more people in, and the relationships flourished. They became stronger. When you walk side by side with someone, whether it's as a church or as an individual going out and doing the Lord's work, and you do that over time, you'll have some pretty strong bonds. And then walls, both physical and spiritual, are strengthened. And here it's in a physical wall that they're building. But I think the Lord really meant for them to come together for something greater. Yeah, they're going to build that wall. They're going to strengthen and fortify their city. But he's also strengthening them for later. He's strengthening them to not just be, okay, great, the wall is built, move on as we used to. No, he's strengthening them as a unified body of God, moving in the same direction as a city. Here at Connection Church, God is calling us to the same kind of unity. Every ministry matters. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I just sing on the worship team. Nope. Or sound guys never get enough credit. Audiovisual, oh, you messed that up. But their ministry is important. Whether you're greeting the door, making coffee, or in our case, you can make your own coffee, by the way, it's a Keurig. But even setting, like, really, you know, just decorating, like, and I say just, I keep saying just, and I shouldn't. But that's how we see it. I just set out chairs, or, you know, I just showed up. Every role contributes to the mission God's building here in Columbiana. Working together also shapes us. It stretches our patience, it develops empathy, and it allows us to rely on one another. Because if you asked me to put that TV up on the wall, it would not be up on the wall. It would be leaning up against the... It would, right? But I had to lean on someone that could do that. I had to rely that they are going to do what they said they're going to do, and they did it. And I thank them for it. God often places us next to people we may not normally choose to sit next to or walk next to or talk next to, but he places it there for a reason. And it's our job to kind of discern what is that reason, not to go, I'm here to condemn you because you don't live the way I think you should live. No, his kingdom is much bigger than we are, and we are to discern what it is that we're supposed to be doing with them. And usually it's to help build his kingdom. That may be to just simply show them Jesus. See, small efforts lead to a big impact, too. Walking side by side with just one person and being there for that one person really is a big deal. sometimes in our day we think of it as a small deal. I only did this. Imagine what a smile can do. I remember somebody telling me one time, smile at everybody you see, even if you don't feel like it, because that person, you don't know what they're going through. That smile is like a butterfly effect, if you know about the butterfly effect. Butterfly effect, basically, the nutshell says, a butterfly flaps its wings in Brazil and causes a tornado in Texas. And in a way, it's true, because if you follow progressions, here, let me give you a history example, because give me a real world example. The invention of the transistor in 1947, at first it was just a small switch replacing a vacuum tube. But that one small breakthrough led to microchips, led to personal computers, led to the internet, which led to smartphones, and now what we use called AI. Whether you agree with AI or not, it's here to stay. But had that little thing that was done in 1947 never happened, we wouldn't be here today. We wouldn't be using this technology. I would not be reading this screen. Would it be all bad? Probably not. But that little thing that was done created a compound effect over time. Imagine what one person can do in the kingdom of God over time. Zechariah 4:10 reminds us, who dares despise the day of small things? Since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen catastrophe. Now that's a weird one. But don't despise the day of small beginnings. Don't despise it. Humble beginnings are the way we start. Humble. Smile, a word of encouragement, a short prayer. They may seem insignificant at the time. People ask you to pray for them. Pray for them immediately. It means a world. Today, as a matter of fact, I literally, someone reached out to me and I prayed for them by text. We do a lot of text praying. Again, technology, right? Pray for them immediately. You don't know. And it changed their countenance right then. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up. That is not about us reaping the harvest, by the way. It's about the first part, about not giving up on doing good. A lot of people go in that, oh, if I just do good, I will get this. I hope, but I think that that's the wrong way of going about it. If you just go, I'm just going to do good, know that the Lord, as long as you're in His will, is going to give you that harvest. But understand, He also says, the harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. So yes, you might have a harvest, but it may mean more work. And that's when we need to come side by side with people and continue working towards that goal. Even when it feels small or unnoticed, keep doing good. Every effort counts, and when all of us are committed to doing good, the whole body of Christ benefits. Keep doing the good. Sometimes, I'm preaching myself. This week alone, I was like, I just don't want to do this. You can ask Carrie. I just was like, I don't know. I just want to be done. I just want to move on. I want to do ministry full time. But as I keep getting reminded, that is my ministry right now. This is my ministry, but so is being with the children and being with the adults at school. That's my ministry. So I am doing good, and I was just getting weary, and it was like the Lord reminded me this week, don't get weary in doing good. We must also be patient with one another. We all have different strengths and weaknesses. And I emphasize the weaknesses, not to emphasize your weakness, but to realize that in your weakness, He will find strength. It's His strength we need to rely on, but it's also the people around us. Recognize your weakness and go, but I know that they can help me in that. And maybe that help is to teach you something you don't know, but maybe that help is literally to help you through your problem or the situation or whatever it is. What comes naturally to you may be hard for someone else. This is where when I was a teacher, I used to have kids all the time. I'd give them a paper, oh, this is easy. And I said, I'm banning that word in my class. Why? It's so easy. Because it's easy for you. When I was growing up, I had kids that two words, easy, this is easy, and I'm done. That bothered me because it wasn't easy for me. It was hard, and it took me longer. But understand that your strength can help someone else, though. So I would always encourage those students in class, like, that's great. And I would go, okay, in my head, I'm going, first of all, half the kids that say that's easy get it wrong anyhow. And I have to backtrack and go, okay, this piece was easy, but now this is where we're at. But then those that were, it did come, and there were kids that, literally, I was teaching fifth grade, they were on an eighth, ninth, 10th grade level of math. And so, like, great, I can use you. They're struggling. Can you help them out? Yeah. Because it, like, gave them, like, oh. And when you can find that in someone and say, can you help me? They're like, yeah. Because I know you have something that I don't. Now think about it in the kingdom. We have something that the world does not. We have Christ. We should not be shying away from walking side by side with those that don't have Christ. Too often, believers in Christ go, I just need to walk with the godly. I'm going to walk with my fellow Christians, and you need to, because that's going to encourage you. But the second part of that is then to go out and proclaim Christ to those who don't know it. The only way you can do that is to be in the world and to walk side by side with them and not to condemn them. Christ didn't come to condemn the world. So who are we to condemn? But to walk side by side, because guess what? They have some strengths that we need. We may think we might have it all figured out because we have Christ. And yes, that's our end all. But they also have some giftings and talents that we need. But we have Christ that they need. So we are going to walk side by side with them. God uses every effort, whether it's big or small, to build his kingdom. So when you sit in there and go, I just, or I only, or whatever, remember that God is going to use your just. God is going to use your only. God is going to use your skills, gifts, and talents for his good. So lean into those strengths. If you are someone in hospitality, or where you cash people out, or guess what you have? You have a gift to be able to relate to people, because it takes a lot of patience. You also probably have a lot of patience, because anytime you're working with people, you have to have a lot of patience. So don't think that, well, put people on, please don't put me on a pedestal. I don't have it figured out, right? Don't think that you're down here because you just do this, or don't put yourself up on a pedestal either because you're like here. But we need to walk alongside of people. In conclusion, ordinary people, one mission, have a lasting impact. We're all ordinary. Nehemiah shows us the big picture. Number one, ordinary people can do extraordinary things when you are available to God. When you are available. Then, number two, unity strengthens the body of Christ and builds community. And small, faithful efforts, number three, ripple out to create a lasting impact. Kind of like throwing a pebble into, just a small pebble into a big pond causes ripple effects. Don't underestimate what God can do with your life, with your gift, with your effort. Every act of service matters because you're a part of something bigger than yourself, whether you realize that or not. Because sometimes we can get into that, I'm just doing this thing. That thing is meant for something bigger. And God loves it. Together, us ordinary people, united in a purpose, will do small things faithfully over time and transform our world and our community here in Columbiana and beyond. And don't think, even though we as a church here are gonna, we want to make that impact here in Columbiana, that you can't make a lasting impact in your neighborhood, in your town, in your city. I think we've gotten away from knowing our neighbors, literal neighbors. We're called to take it to our neighbors and love your neighbors, but we forget that our neighbors are literally right beside us, and we don't even know them. I'm going to ask you to stand as I wrap up here. And we're going to actually do a complete moment of silence because I want you to ask the Lord a couple of questions of yourself. See, because us ordinary people coming together, Doing small acts of faithfulness will make a big kingdom impact. So I have a couple questions I want you to reflect on. First of all, as Nehemiah, as the people are working side by side, they each had a section of the wall. They didn't have the whole wall to build. They had a section of the wall. So the first thing I want you to think of is, what is your section of the wall? What is the wall? What's the piece that God is asking you to work on today, this week, this month? Number two, who are you called to serve alongside to help build that wall? Maybe it's already somebody that you are already working side by side with and didn't realize it. And I don't mean work as in the traditional sense of work, but maybe there's somebody already in your life that you're really supposed to be working with. And then number three, how can I faithfully do the small things that God has placed in front of me now? Because we are thinking here as a church, and the Lord gave me a picture of just an apple sapling, an apple tree, just a sapling. We can see the apple tree. We can see the orchard. We can see the seeds that are being planted. And we forget that we're just a sapling, and we're to water that now. That small thing, what are you called to do right now that's in front of you that the Lord's already asked you to do? So, again, what's your section of the wall? Who are you called to serve alongside? And how can you faithfully do what God has already placed in front of you now? We're just going to give a moment to reflect on that quietly, and it's going to be awkward because we want you to hear from the Lord. Lord, we stand here. Use us. Help to make us builders of your kingdom. Help us to link arms with our brothers and sisters together so that we can show Columbiana, Ohio, the United States, and the world who you are. Help us to fortify the walls of your kingdom by realizing that we are just ordinary people. However, you have placed in us giftings and talents that we can use. Forgive us for walking side by side with people that we may see as different, see as weird, see as anything but a brother and sister in Christ and condemn them. But let us look at them like you see them as future brothers and sisters in Christ and ones that you want saved to be a part of your kingdom. Not just here on earth, but in heaven. Lord, as we take those steps of ordinary things and ordinary tasks and those small things this week, continue to show us the next thing. Give us the insight that you have for what it is and allow us to see that as it's happening. Allow us to see what it is that you're asking us to do and who you're asking us to come alongside. We want to help build your walls, not to keep people out, but to protect those and to build your kingdom inside those walls and to welcome people into that kingdom. Encourage us to step out of our comfort zone in order to do that. Help us to see that we're to serve alongside of others that you have called us to so that we may help build your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Church, go forward this week. It's not about building walls to keep people out. It's about building walls to invite them into your world, into God's world. Love you, church. We'll see you next week.